from Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. Here I'm at the Springfield Studios, Tim. Appreciate
Great.
It.
Always like having you in Springfield. You need to get over here a little more often.
Yeah, we love coming here. In fact, we spent a lot of time on Monday in Urbana with about 20
there.
Volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciated, you know, how everyone came together. We got that mailing out. You returned to Springfield with hundreds or maybe even thousands of the letters and got them to the post office. And yesterday, if you were tuned in, you heard from Peggy and Denise Meyer. They both spell their name differently, but I said that the twin sisters that shared some of their faith journey and testimony. But we talked a little bit about our new intern, Terrence. And so here Terrence is with us. This is your debut, Terrence, so welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
You know, it was just kind of a last-minute thing. We called him. I say we. I guess you maybe got in touch with him, Mark, and said, hey, Terrence, do you want to come over with Tim to Urbana? We're going to do the mailing. And I'm so glad you did, Terrence. I felt like I probably talked his ear off,
You
know, so much so you probably should pay him for putting up with that. But I felt like I really got to know Terrence just in that hour and a half trip over from Springfield to Urbana. So welcome, Terrence.
Thank you.
His debut. But we have Terrence kind of learning the ropes, and he has some editing background, some radio experience. But we actually have a special guest that Tim will introduce in just a moment. In fact, I'm holding up one of his books, one of the three books I think he's published, called Revelation, The Mercy Seat of God. And when I flipped through it and looked at it, I just received it recently, what I loved was a note from the author. I wish to thank my Lord and Savior for this book. I wish to honor my Lord Jesus, for he is the one sitting on the mercy seat of God. My hope and prayer is this. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you will want to after reading this book. My hope is that you will also write about Jesus and your experience in accepting him, as well as having faith in Jesus. William T. Smith.
Let me introduce you to Bill Smith. He was born in Morgan County, Illinois. He's father to three, grandfather to five. Though retired, he gives of his services and time freely, volunteering with hospice. In addition to volunteering, he enjoys going to auctions in his spare time. And let me say, Mark, the way Bill and I came in contact with each other the first time, I got to town June 7th and started, and it wasn't too long after that. Bill just shows up. I meet him. He says, well, here, I've got two books. I'm kind of in the area. I'm up here for an appointment, I think it was. Wasn't it, Bill? Medical appointment. And I said, okay, well, I'll take those. And I took them and kind of, you know, skimmed through them and stuff. And I said, well, you know, maybe we'll connect again later on. Didn't think much about it. So that's been, what, a couple months ago or more? And we were thinking, who are we going to have on today?
Right.
Because you're coming to town. We usually do an interview. I don't know. I came across his business card as I was going through my wallet and like, well, I don't have time to call him right now. I don't know. He's not going to be in town because he's not right from Springfield. We're trying to think what to do, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in the door and it's Bill.
Yep. And
that's why he's here today.
Bill, let's go up into the studio. And so as God always seems to provide, God's providential handiwork, I don't know, it's one of those divine appointments. We've already prayed up the program, but isn't it kind of unique how God can bring strangers together and yet we're united because of our love for Jesus and our desire for proclaiming his word and knowing his word and reading it? And that's one of the things that as I got to know you just for a few minutes earlier, your passion about God's word and communicating the message to those that are lost, those that don't know about God's love and the redemptive plan he has through the Lord Jesus. So on this, I can't say it's a testimony Tuesday because it's Wednesday, but start off with a little bit of your faith journey. What brought you to the point where now you're writing these books, but who introduced you to Jesus and how did that unfold?
I accepted Christ as my Savior 35 years ago, and it was a unique experience. There was a little trouble in my family. Something happened that got me very angry. And the more I thought about that, the more angry I got, and the more angry I got, the more madder I got, and the more madder I got, the more hatred that came into my heart. So So one night I was walking up and down the street in front of the house, and actually I had murder on my heart. And then as while I was doing all this, a voice spoke out of heaven saying, "Bill, Bill, is this the way you wish to feel throughout eternity?" And I stopped because I knew who was talking to me. And I said, "No, Lord, it is not." And I started praying to him. But it didn't seem like anything was happening. And this is the unique part. It seemed like Jesus started to turn around and walk away from me. And when he did, I felt the awfulest feeling that anybody could ever feel. Because I knew that where I was headed was into eternity of hell. So I sat there and I said, "Lord, I know where I am going. But those that I have fought against, those that I hate, please do whatever you can not to send them to this place, because I don't want them to experience this awful feeling that I have." And it was that time that the Lord turned around and took all that hatred away and put love there. And I feel that their loving hug still 35 years later.
Now, I'm looking at you with your golden beard, and, you know, you're not a spring chicken, so are you in your 30s at that time? How old?
I was 35.
35 years old. So were you introduced to Christian principles or going to church prior to being 35 at this point? Like, did you have any Christian influences from grandparents or parents or neighbors or a youth group?
Well, not from grandparents, because I lost them before I was born.
Sure.
But the first place that I visited after I was born was the church.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, they were both very good believers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was raised up in the church.
Sure.
But just because I was raised up in the church doesn't mean that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I definitely cannot get the glory on their short tail. So 35 years later, when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, it was a whole new experience to me, even though I knew about it in the past.
Yeah, so you knew of God, you knew of Jesus, but it wasn't personal. But you had this voice, this unique experience. Would you say that from that point on, the Scriptures became more alive? It wasn't just stories or words. It was truthful?
Yes, I would say that, because even though I read the Bible a little bit before that, now I wanted to get into the Word and learn who God was. And that's a whole different story there. So,
yeah. And I ask that because I'm sure there's listeners on their way to work, traveling around, tuned in. Some are wondering, like, gosh, I've never heard this kind of discussion that you can have a relationship with God, or I've heard of this Jesus. Wasn't he this great man or a rabbi? I don't know. They talk about he was a healer, but I don't understand anything about Jesus. But when you start saying that he became personal, that you knew your sins were forgiven, you knew that there was eternity ahead of you because of what he did. But then I'm also wanting them to think, wow, maybe that's why the Scriptures don't come alive. I've tried to open up the Bible and they just seem like a lot of words or some old stories. It seems like when you asked Jesus into your heart that the Word started becoming more alive because the Spirit was at work in you. And so I guess I share that, listener, because you may be somebody far from God. You just never have entertained the idea of knowing him in a personal way. And maybe the times you've tried to open up the Bible, they just seem like words or old stories or it didn't make sense. Well, you're missing a key element. It's like looking at something and you don't have glasses on and you can't really read it clearly. Well, when you start entertaining the idea that God loves you and cares for you and you ask Jesus into your heart, it's like you get new lenses and the words start becoming more alive or making sense. And so that's part of your journey in your mid-30s. You're starting to connect with God, know God better, read his word. It's given you some direction in your life. Where did God take you from there?
It took me a while to learn a little bit about God. Mm-hmm. And when I say a little bit, that's what I mean, just a little bit. Because no matter how long you're up on this earth and no matter how much you read the book, you still know just a little bit about God. About 30 years later, about 7 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he told me, "I want you to write a book." Well, I was in Revelation at that time, so I sat down and I started writing about Revelation. And as I was writing, it seemed like nothing was coming together. So one morning, about 18 months later, I laid it all out for him on the kitchen table. And I said, Lord, I told you I could not write, and here is the proof. And the Lord spoke to me and says, start writing what I want you to write, and you will make a book. And I said, okay, Lord, I will start writing what you want. And with that, I got two poetic style books out and one short story. And the verses that was read earlier is the key verse to a second book that I'm working on right now, short story. That's called What is Man to God?
And I think you reference, is it your brother and a nephew that also inspired you to write, that they both have their own books, and maybe they said, hey, Bill, you need to write a book. Were they a part of your inspiration?
Well, they was a part of it, but not in that way.
Okay.
Now, my oldest brother, he sat there and he did a lot of writing, but actually the book that he wrote, which was Nuggets of Gold, did not come out until about 6 months after he died. And that's when his son-in-law put all of his works together and put it in as a book. And my nephew, he wrote a book, but it's not a Christian book. It's a, well, I'm not too sure how to put it, probably a sci-fi type story. But with him, when we got talked together, you know, we talked about everything that we was writing about, then, yeah, that kept inspired me to keep going because I knew people out there needed to know the Lord.
So in your latest book, Bill, I noticed the plan of salvation is actually right in there.
Yes, in the last book, I did put the plan of salvation in there. Matter of fact, it's in there twice in two different forms. And that's because the first two books that I put out did not have a plan of salvation in it. And the Lord started working on me and said, hey, how is people going to know who I am if they don't have a plan of salvation and how to get in contact with me? So from then on, I said, Lord, I will put the plan of salvation in every book that I write.
So what would you say to that person tuning in today, you know, scanning the dial? Now I would say, hey, this is a divine appointment. God has you driving or tuning in or your listening device, you know, whether it's an iPad or their computer or however they're tuned in. This is maybe a message that you need to hear. But what would you say to that person maybe struggling in life, maybe far from God, or even the person that doesn't even entertain that there is such a thing about a higher power or a sovereign God that cares?
Well, actually, if you just look around at everything that's going on, the trees that's growing, the birds that's flying, everything has a purpose. And the purpose that we are here on the earth is to give God glory by having fellowship with God. And you can't have fellowship with God if you don't know God. So no matter what your religion is, no matter what state of mind you're in right now, if you start believing that there is a God, that comes first because you have to believe. Then you start talking to the person that you believe there is, and pretty soon he will make himself real to you. And when he makes himself real to you, then all this here stuff that's inside of you, that doubt and fear and what have you, will leave, and he will replace it with joy and peace and love.
Yep, Bible says you will find me when you seek me with all your heart.
And I thought about another verse, that illustration that Jesus gives, you know, where that, I don't know if it's a centurion, that one person that says, Lord, help me in my unbelief. You know, so it doesn't take a lot of belief. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know all the Bible. Just a little seed of faith, just a little inkling, like, God, they believe in you. Help me know that you exist. And then I thought of James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Some versions, come near to God and he'll come near to you. And that's always been my promise to any unbelieving person. Just entertain the idea. Just try to think that maybe there is a God and he'll reveal himself. He created you. He loves you. He cares for you. And so just entertain the idea just a little bit, even if you don't believe it yet or don't understand it yet, just a little bit, try, and God will reveal himself. He created you. He has a desire and a design for you to live out on this planet.
And that's the reason why I wrote this here last book, Revelation, the Mercy Seat of God, because God is mercy. He has mercy on everyone. And he is sitting up on the mercy seat, which is on the right-hand side of the Father, and with his blood covering you, which is, I know, a kind of a weird way of saying it, but that's what the Bible teaches. Then when the Father looks at you as a sinner, what he is actually seeing is the blood of Christ or the glory of Christ and not you.
Yeah.
So you have to have that personal relationship in order for that to happen.
Now, I'm thinking earlier you were talking about some of your faith journey and having anger to the point of, you know, almost entertaining murder. And so how did God's mercy and God's love and God's care really diminish that attitude or minimize those feelings? Because those are true feelings. People get violated, get abused, are disenfranchised, have been harmed, hurt. I mean, that's legitimate feelings. So how did God help you work through some of that anger, those issues, so that you found healing?
Well, the main thing is when I said that I prayed to the Heavenly Father to not to let the ones that I have problems with, the ones I hate, the one that I had fought against, and so on and so forth. Well, when I started praying for them people, then that automatically took feelings, all the wrong feelings away from me, and he put the correct feelings into me of love and peace and joy.
Tim, isn't that beautiful aspect of God? You know, we're wretched, you know, in and of ourselves, we fall short, we fail. I mean, how many times do we have to confess different sins, and yet God embraces us, he still carries us along, and we get to experience that mercy and that grace. I mean, it's just kind of an amazing thing that the sovereign God, holy God, perfectly perfect and righteous, can even tolerate us, that desires to have a relationship with us.
Yeah, it's a reminder that any good thing that comes from us is ultimately from God. Mm-hmm. We're wretched. We all are, if we're really truthful about ourselves.
And it gives, I believe, hope to anyone tuned in today, because it doesn't matter what your history is, what your background is. If you turn towards this holy, loving, caring God, he will embrace you.
Yeah. He'll reveal himself.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it doesn't mean we suddenly become perfect or immediately cleaned up. We have some bad habits or situations, but hopefully as we grow in that relationship, we develop, we get sanctified, we purge some of the bad things, and, you know, we walk in this newness, this completeness, because we have Jesus standing up and guiding us, and then the Holy Spirit equipping us to live in this sin-fallen world where there is heartache and mistreatment and issues are going on, but he equips us to navigate through those things. Have you found that these last so many years as you walk along with the Lord's leading?
Now, I walk with the Lord and he leads me. That doesn't mean that he keeps me from trouble, because I'm always in trouble with one thing or another. Yeah. But he gives me the peace and the comfort to know that I can work through that trouble. So he doesn't take the trouble away, but he helps me to overcome it. And as a sinner, as it says in Psalms chapter 10, verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Well, he's standing afar off because I'm a sinner. Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? Same thing there. As a sinner, you're hiding from him. But when you turn around and start to experience his love and his grace and accept him as God, all it takes is you believe first, and then you will have also this peace that comes that will help you through any trouble that you could manage to get into.
Bill, in our closing like minute and a half, if somebody is interested in purchasing one of your books or finding out more, is there a website, or how do they get in contact with you?
Well, the first two books, they go to Door. It's a bookstore. It's a website. But if you go to Barnes & Noble, The Nook, different places like that.
Call 1-800-788-7654, 1-800-788-7654, or stop by dorrancebookstore.com. That's Dorrance bookstore.com. And the book I'm holding in front of me is Revelation, The Mercy Seat of God. And you have, Tim?
Yeah, Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Thoughts of William T. Smith.
If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. You can right-click on it, save it in an email, and pass it on to a friend, and they can listen to it anytime. So stop by our websites, and you can listen to this program. Stop by our Facebook page, and you'll see a photograph of Bill Smith and Tim and me in the studio here. And I hope you're blessed by the message that God does care for you. There is a mercy seat. The Lord Jesus took our sins and cast them into the sea as we accept them into our heart. And we can have that vibrant, ongoing, flourishing relationship because of the work that He did on our behalf. And so we serve a great God, and He does love His children. You're one of them, and I pray that you'll draw close to Him today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Tim Nelson, and Terrence. He had to race downstairs, so Terrence, our trainee, he's downstairs, and Bill Smith with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the eye I first. But God, who called me here, forever.